Okay, Karen Page, welcome to My Worst Leadership Moment podcast.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure, or I hope it's going to be an absolute pleasure, Kaz.
We'll see.
We've known each other for a while. You're a former guest along with your fantastic partner on Culture of Leadership podcast, which is one of our other podcasts we do. So thanks for coming on and being, well, I assume you will be quite vulnerable about sharing your worst leadership moment.
Yes. Wasn't a great moment in history.
Which we will dive into, and we can't wait to hear what you have to say. But first of all, how about you give us a bit of background on yourself and a bit of background and the backstory leading up to your worst leadership moment.
Okay. So Kaz Page, mum, wife, have worked in the IT industry for a good solid 30 years and honestly thought that getting to the pinnacle of my career meant getting to senior management, sort of executive level. And so worked really hard through a couple of large organizations. And then life took a deviation, I guess, based on Matt's accident and, you know, family things that had happened, which we talked about previously. And so when we moved down to the Central Coast, I went to work for a startup company. And for me, that, again, that was that opportunity to get back into a very career-driven process. And again, in my mindset, with that theory that I needed to be a part of the executive team, you know, for me, for career fulfillment, that's what was driving me to keep going. And so ended up creating departments after departments and had 36 direct reports at one stage through that process. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Thanks for sharing it. 36 direct reports just in itself sounds like an absolutely recipe for disaster and is not something I would recommend in a organizational leadership space. So with that said, Kaz, let's dive in. You share, please, what you consider to be your worst leadership moment.
The realization that I'm not a leader was probably the pivotal moment for me. Having 36 different personalities all trying to achieve and align to the same goal and thinking that the misconception in my mind that that was the only way that I could prove myself to me within my career. I'm a very black and white person and I have a very, very high work ethic in that I just work until it's done. So my assumption was everybody else just worked like that. And with 36 personalities, you're going to find personalities that don't see the world like I see the world. And I guess for me, it was that moment that kind of said, well, what is leadership versus management? I'm managing these people with an expectation that I need them to get from here to here, but I want them to do it my way. And I guess through that process, and this wasn't an overnight kind of thing, this happened over a period of time, the realization had to hit home that I was never going to get those people to get from point A to point B because A, not only did I not have the skill set to do that, but I'm also very much too black and white in my mannerism and in my approach to pretty much everything I do and I touch. And as a person, my ego, I had to remove that from the equation. I had to take away and go, I'm not the leader these people need to get them and to motivate them and to, I guess, teach them how to change to get from point A to point B. I knew how to get there, but my way was very hard and fast and analytical. There was no emotional empathy. There was no comprehension of understanding about them as humans. I just saw the goal and I, you know, kicking and screaming would drag people along to get there. So my worst moment was that realization that when I had to take my ego out of the equation and B, realized I'm really good at what I do and I can get from A to B, no problems whatsoever. What I can't do by choice is lead other people to come along because I don't have, again, by choice, that willingness to slow down, that willingness to stop and look at that the sidelines, I guessed from that leadership kind of perspective, it's do it this way or, you know, get on board or get away, basically. Mm. That's not a leader. So my worst moment in leadership was learning and accepting and being okay with, it's okay not to be a leader. And I can still be really good at what I do, and I can still push harder and higher to be really senior at what I do. But to get to that level does not mean that I have to be a leader of others.
It sounds like that worst moment, you definitely already turned that into some clarity about what you want to be moving forward, whether that's a leader of people or not a leader of people, and that sort of created that clarity. What I need to ask, though, is what is it in that experience and that journey did you think you could actually succeed as a leader in leading 36 direct reports?
It wasn't a choice at that point. Because it was a startup company, we were kind of just treading water as we went. So one thing led to another. We needed more support staff, and then we needed more onboarding staff, and then we needed more because we grew quite quickly. So, I mean, I eventually got it to the point where even I understood that this was non-achievable on any level, and eventually put in 4 team leaders. So the structure ended up being that I segregated into 4 different departments. I had 4 direct team leaders, and they were managing down too. It still came at a point where acknowledgement of who I am as a person and either accepting that I had to change or accepting to be good with who I was as a person and allowing to step aside and bring somebody else in who could do that. And that was the critical point. I don't believe the pinnacle requires you to be a leader. And that was my misconception for me personally.
In the hybrid working world, I've seen too many business owners and their businesses suffer because of poor performing employees, leading to below average results. If you want to improve your employees' performance to deliver consistent results for your business, you have to master one-on-one meetings. The doors to our Master One-on-One Meetings training program are opening soon. I'll teach you how to improve employee performance and deliver consistent results using one-on-one meetings. To be one of the first people notified when the doors open, go to leaderbydesign.au/waitlist. Don't wait, sign up now. Yeah, absolutely. So what was the impact or the consequences from this realization for you in that moment and moving forward?
Look, that was a journey. It was somewhat devastating at first because I thought I could be anything and everything to anyone and anyone whenever. And so the realization of, no, even I have limits.
I was sitting here knowing you for some time. I always thought you were Superwoman.
Yeah, apparently not. So, you know, falling back down to reality hurt a bit. I think the biggest challenge for me was differentiating between self-worth and ego. And that was a huge moment for me because...
Tell us more.
Well, my ego said, don't fail at being a leader. But I was managing, not leading. And so... to learn my worth, I had to differentiate, right? I had to understand that there is a difference between being a leader and encouraging people and getting the best out of them based on their own individual capabilities, et cetera, and so forth. I didn't have time for that. We just had an end goal. And that's my process orientation. That's how I drive things. There's the end goal. Here's the pathway to get there. Let's go. That's not leadership. That's driving a car to the end game. So for me, that realization of I would have to go away and do a lot of self-work on me to be better to lead, I then had to ask myself the question, is that really what I want? Is the accolade what I want, or is the journey what I want? And the ego part of me, it was the accolades. It was the getting to the top of that role and being a part of that environment. Once I realized that I could still actually achieve but just being really focused on what I do. I design process. I take human ethos into the equation when I design process for software, but that's what I'm really good at. And I can determine price and I can get to executive level and I can be at the top of my game. I don't have to manage teams to get there. I don't have to lead people in the traditional sense. I still lead by design. Mm-hmm. When I sit down with the teams that I work with, my education, my understanding, my experience is still valuable and I can still lead the outcomes of pathways within software design and process. And I'm good with that. But if you ask me to go and be a manager or a supervisor or, you know, all of these roles that are defined by KPI metrics for people and, you know, goals and all the rest of it and the day-to-day 9-to-5 basics of being in a group, no, that's not my skill set. And I had to be okay with removing my ego to identify the difference.
Mm.
That's a hard thing for people to do.
I think it definitely can be, and certainly in society, how we build up this sort of the images of a leader and having to have sort of people following you and all this inspiration and all this sort of stuff attached to it. There's so many variations of leadership. But, and again, having known you for some time, you are certainly a leader in your family, a leader in your community, a leader in the various things that you do through My Broken Soldier and the veteran community and how you help people and just an all-around great everyday person.
I'll pay you later. Thanks.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. And I say it fairly genuinely.
Damn, I have to pay you more.
See, you've definitely unpacked a bit of like sort of what you learned from that and that sort of realization in the moment and you sort of become comfortable in your own skin. And I guess in summing that up, what I take is that people need to realize, and this is the realization you had, is that, again, you don't, to be a leader, it doesn't mean that you need to be leading or having direct, I certainly wouldn't recommend having 36 direct reports, but it doesn't mean that you have to have people officially reporting into you. It's through your actions, through your everyday actions and how you conduct yourself day to day, how you interact with people, how you make people feel about interactions with you, that their leadership qualities that come and are allowed to be produced by people every day. That's a choice, right?
Yep, absolutely. Owning your
worth.
Owning your worth, understanding who you are.
Absolutely. And to take another sort of acronym from you and that hope, that helping one person each day, if you can do that, then that is leadership in a nutshell for me as well. And your style of leadership. How has it shaped your leadership style from that moment and through your career?
Look, it certainly taught me that not everybody likes my hard and fast approach and that sometimes silence is probably more powerful than speaking an opinion. My logic has always been think it, speak it and be honest, but I have also learned along the way that not everybody is open to change. Some people just want to talk about where they are and why it's wrong for whatever reason. I was always of the opinion that if you had a problem and I had a solution, it's resolved, right? What I found difficult and what I struggled with a lot was if there was a problem and there was a solution, why weren't people just adopting the solution? And I had to learn to be okay with people choosing not to adopt the solution and not fight them on it. So for me, I've taken that approach into everything, into My Broken Soldier, into the work that I do in software, into even raising my children. I have two adult children and I have three children still at home. My approach with my three children at home is so very different to how I raised my first two children because I've learned to be okay with letting go a little bit. Maybe not as much as I probably should, but it's certainly a journey that has taught me to take a step back and breathe and not everything has to be solved. I'm a fixer. That's what I am. I'm a fixer. And if I can't fix it, I will fight until I can. And, you know, I guess through that process, not intentionally and certainly not maliciously, I have probably historically trodden on people because I'm a fixer and I just want to fix it. So I've learned to be a little less black and white. I guess I'm learning to try and be comfortable in the gray.
And what I would say, and I love that terminology, there's two bits of terminology you've used. So the fixer, and that's a certain style of leadership. And leadership is a time and a place for certain styles. So I think at certain times and certain situations and probably in startups when you just need to be very nimble and solving things and be that fixer type, you know, you do need people to move along with you because you probably have some pretty good answers. You've got some unbelievable experience. The other thing you mentioned a little bit earlier is that you lead by design. And very coincidentally, our new programs and digital programs commencing in 2024 fall under the banner of Leader by Design. So what you said absolutely resonates with me because I'm a massive believer in leadership is such a unique and individual journey for every single person. And what you shared today has proven that. So it is about designing your journey. It doesn't mean that you need to design a journey and the only journey to design for leadership is having all these group of people reporting into you. It can be such an individual journey and doing what you're doing, being the best you can be, being the best team player that you can be as part of a unit, part of a team, part of an organization to drive success. So Karen Page, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for contributing and sharing vulnerability on this show and your learnings about your worst leadership moment. Thank you very much for being a guest.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you, Karen.